Reservable.
If you're happy.
It's the Reset Rebel. It's the Reset Rebel.
Yeah, you ready?
It's the Reset Rebel. Coming to you every day.
Welcome back to the Reset Rebel podcast with me, Jo Yule. And today we are diving deep into a topic that's long been buried under taboo, misinformation and silence, women's sexual health and pleasure. My guest is Dr. Marta Recio Rodriguez, a specialist in sexology and regenerative gynecology, whose work challenges outdated narratives and empowers women to reclaim their bodies with knowledge, science and self-respect. Fresh from her TEDx talk, The Clitoris, the story of the button no one can find, Marta joins me now straight from Madrid to talk anatomy, intimacy, and why it's high time we bring female pleasure out of the shadows and into the spotlight. Marta, welcome to the Reset Rebel.
Thank you very much. Thank you to you.
So you don't always spend your time in Madrid. You also live as well here on the island. Where are you from originally, Marta?
Yeah, well, I'm from Toledo. This is a little city next to Madrid, but I live in the island, but I work in both places, Madrid and Ibiza.
Okay, and how come you sort of split your time between the two? Is that where your practice is?
Yeah, I work in two places. Every week I travel from one place to the other one.
Okay, nice. So how has the TEDx experience been? Let's start there.
Well, it's very interesting, amazing. I think I have a good content to show to everybody. I would say woman, but not only woman. I think everybody. And my colleagues are great. I think it's a great experience, trying to do your best always, not only in your place that you work, but also in here. I think it's a great experience. Even if I am used to give a lot of talks, it's a complete different experience.
For sure. I mean, it's definitely a lot of work on top of what is probably a very busy working life as well. Not sure how you managed to fit all of that in. It's very impressive. So what first drew you to the field of sexology and regenerative gynecology? Was there a moment or an experience that kind of, you know, lit that spark for you to follow on this path?
Well, when I was studying gynecology, I saw a lot of women with this kind of problems, and general medicine doesn't have an answer. So for me, it was very uncomfortable because the woman asked for different questions of their sexuality, and I didn't know the answers. And I wanted to help them to feel good with their own sexuality, to solve their problems. And that's why I was interested in sexology. So I did the Master of Sexology. And later, regenerative gynecology camps. It's another way you see the gynecology for me. So we have a lot of treatments, regenerative treatment to help women with pain or any problems that affect to their sexuality. So it gives another focus on my career. So that was great. And women are very, very happy with it. So I'm very proud of my career.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I read your biography of all the things that you've studied. And it's not been a quick path to get where you are. Obviously, it's been a lot of a lot of different academic qualifications that I was just like, wow, couldn't even fit them all into the introduction of my TEDx stage introduction. But you work closely with women with their most vulnerable truths. How do you create a safe space for those conversations to happen at the clinic?
I have a personal space for them, low lights, low music. And I try, I have a lot of time for them, like 30 minutes or 1 hour, so they can explain everything they need. I try to help them to feel comfortable with me. I talk to them that they can say anything they need. I won't say anything is wrong or something that affects the way they have to tell me the things. So I think they are very comfortable. So that's why the resolution comes, because they have the space. I understand their real needs. So that's why we can do the treatment or the whatever they need.
Mm. What's the most common fear or problem that people come to you with?
Well, problems with sexuality and pain are very common. Pain is one of the most important problems of women during the sexual intercourse. And also they forget about the clitoris. So I think sexual intercourse is like the only way of sexuality. And this affects a lot of women. Help them to understand what they need and how to feel different, how to understand their sexuality by herself. Because all women leave the problem to the partner. So the partner have to understand how the sexuality of a woman is. And it's not like this. They have to know what they need, what their pleasure comes from, to tell their partner how to feel, how to do it. And about pain, there's a lot of problems, like problems with the pelvic floor, or some illnesses like lichen sclerosus, problems with their own clitoris or sensitivity. So we have to understand what's happening. It's only psychology, it's also physical, and try to help them in their well way, because sometimes if it's physical, they lead to a psychological problem. So that's why we have to act in both the ways.
Amazing. I mean, this interview gets published after the TEDx talk is happening this weekend. So I think it'd be interesting just to, obviously the title of your talk is The Clitoris, The Story of the Button That Nobody Can Find. I mean, it's quite a comedic title in many ways, but it is, you know, a real issue for, I think, a lot of women. Why is that?
I think women doesn't look to their genitals. They didn't know what's the difference between vulva and vagina, for example. It's so simple. The outside and the inside, they think is the same. We also use same words in Spanish for everything. Not the anatomical words, but like general words that means like the same. So they think it's the same. And in the vulva, they don't know the parts of the anatomical parts of the vulva. So they don't really know what the clitoris is, because they don't know what's the labia minora or labia majora or anything. So I think it's a problem of our culture. The sexuality of men is like more easier, and we, for them, it's like very easy because they don't have the problems we have. If we talk about our sexuality, we will always say, like, don't do it, you don't have to do it. No, it's a problem. It's like forbidden for us. Not for men. For men, it's like different. They can do it, and then nobody asks. So women are not used to see their genitals. They also, like, didn't want to look at them. They think they are, like, ugly, or I don't know. So I think the problems come from it. They don't know the anatomy, so they don't allow themselves to explore it, to touch it, to feel the pleasure, because they think it's not good. So that's a real problem.
But where does this feeling that it's not good to talk about this come from?
I think from the culture, because it's a long time problem. Even it now, social media and everything seems that they are a lot more open to women's sexuality. I think it's not like that, because women have to show they are very like sexy, but in the real way for sexuality, they have to they are not allowed to explore their own sexuality or say what they need. That's a real problem. They show that they are very sexy and they're great, they dress perfect, but in the real sexuality, they can't find their own pleasure.
Interesting. It's a very multi-layered storyline in many ways, particularly as you get into in your talk. I mean, historically, you know, why do you think that female sexual anatomy has been overlooked in medicine and education? Why is there so little talk of this?
Well, they have been changing for the ages, because in some ages, sexual pleasure for women was like very important. And in other moments, it wasn't. I think the same as women. Women have a lot of power in some cultures or in some ages. And in other part, they are like always related to men. So I think the clitoris and the woman's sexuality was the same. It depends on the age. For example, in the Middle Age, they were witch. So that's why woman's sexuality was forbidden, because everything they feel like pleasure, or just imagine what an orgasm means for a woman, what kind of pleasure they feel. So it was like, no, they are witches. They do magic now. So it's depending on the culture. In the ancient Egypt or in the ancient Greek, it was the opposite. They feel like they were like gods. Now the woman was like gods, and their blessing was great, and they were the mother of anyone. But after the Middle Age, I think woman was I don't know how to explain it, like less than men. Yeah, you know, they had to be at home, everything. The man was most important, and woman was like subordinated to men. So that's why the sexuality was the same. So everything the way men say, the woman had to do it. The problem of the sexual intercourse. They think the vagina was the only way to feel the pleasure, because the clitoris wasn't visible even for the medicine. We couldn't study the clitoris, because it was forbidden, even in the images, even in the anatomy. So we, like doctors, we couldn't know about clitoris. How could general people know about it, right? What could we say in the consultation with the woman can and ask us? So I think it's a problem of the culture. And everything that leads a woman to be subordinated to men. And it was a real problem, because our grandmother, our mother, have the same feelings, the same knowledge that give to us. So that's why we learn about them, we learn from them, sorry. So that's why we think a woman's sexuality is not good.
Mm. So interesting. I mean, some of the therapies that they came up with these massage chairs, and I mean, I saw a film about that once. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Can you remember the name of that film that focused on this specific topic?
Well, there's a different films, like the Hysteria.
That was it. Yes, I remember watching that, going, "Oh my god, I had no idea that this was a thing." Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Over the years, women's sexuality has changed a lot, not in a good way. Mm. So it's incredible to know what's been going on, and even now, we didn't know about it. Nobody knows about the clitoris. Nobody knows about how woman's sexuality works. And even with us, we didn't allow ourselves to explore it. So that's what we need to talk about, to tell the woman that they have to allow the self to feel it, to explore it. And it could be the thing.
What's the most fascinating thing you found out through your studies of the clitoris that you could maybe share with us?
Well, I think clitoris is today is even unknown, because the internal part of the clitoris is very, very big. It takes like 10 or 11 centimeters. So it comes all over the vagina. So now scientific, we think the vaginal orgasm come from the clitoris. So I think the function of the clitoris is very different from the anatomy because it has a lot of vessels, a lot of innervation. So how the pleasure come from, where does it come from, is even today is unknown. And every woman have a different place to stimulate. That's why they have to know the self, have to discover it, because it's very important. Even the clitoris is so big, it has a lot of connections. So they have to find where their pleasure is. But the most important for me was to find that the orgasms is not from the genitals, it's from the mind. So that's very interesting, because everybody thinks that they have to stimulate the genitals to feel an orgasm, but it's not from them, it's from the mind. So you have to prepare your mind for sexual pleasure. And this is a thing that you have to work, yeah? It's like, I think I always say it's like exercise. The first, you don't like it a lot. Well, you have to do it like, okay, let's do the exercise. But later, then your body say, let's do exercise. I really want to do exercise. It's the same from sexuality. First time, it's like, oh, I don't really feel like, but okay, let's do it. But later, if you work on it, then you will need it. You will feel it, because it's a positive feedback for your body. And it's very also great for health.
I was watching something earlier, and it was saying that when a woman has sex, they release oxytocin. And this is the thing that makes us fall in love with men. And when men have sex, they release testosterone, and they only release oxytocin if they're in love with the woman. So I was like, I had no idea that this was a thing. And that's how maybe women get more attached to men when they start to have sex with them more quickly than men do with women. It was very, very interesting. I didn't know any of this. It's like fascinating.
Yeah, it's the same mechanism that happened with your baby. When you have a baby, then your oxytocin make you in love with your baby, so you can want to take care of the baby, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same for insects with men. You produce this oxytocin that also produce the contraction of the uterus that produce the orgasm, the same, and is the birth. And it produce that you get in love with this wizard partner, exactly.
So we're in trouble then. Basically, we should stop. We shouldn't have sex too soon.
Exactly. And there's a real problem for women when they come into menopause. So that's why it's very important that they know that hormonal therapy can help them. And we also use testosterone to help them with this problem, because testosterone is also related like to men, but is the most important hormone in women. And it decreases from the 35 years, more or less, it's called decreasing. So when they achieve menopause, then it's like completely gone. And also they feel like different, they have like vaginal dryness. When we replace the testosterone, they feel like great again, even in their 20s. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very important for women that they can come back to this feeling with hormonal therapy. And it's not the problem of menopause. If any woman that have this decrease of testosterone can replace it and feel again. Mm.
But I mean, somehow women are kind of told to think that taking hormone replacement therapy is like failing, you know, it's like giving in to this thing that we shouldn't really do. But actually, you know, for 90% of women, or I don't know what percentage it is, but it does actually change their lives for the rest of their lives. And I think it's important that people understand, I think, that, you know, for me, when I started to take it, when I hit my early 40s, I mean, it was a complete and utter transformation for sure. And I think that that is exactly what it was. I read a book by Davina McCall about menopause, and then I was like, oh wow, I think that's what I'm lacking, because I felt like my self-confidence was like vanished.
Exactly. And they are not afraid of, they are afraid of hormones, but they are not afraid of losing their hormones. And they have to be afraid of losing their hormones. because only body will change and a lot of illnesses will come. So they had to take care of their body and their mind and everything, not only hot flashes or insomnia. They have to take care about their own body, osteopenia, dementia or arthrosis, whatever it's come from. So it's important that we think about general health in women, hormonal health, sexual health, and to inform them about the things they can achieve when they balance their body.
Amazing. Marta, I've taken up quite a lot of your time already. Thank you so much. Also for speaking in English, obviously, you're going to be doing your TEDx talk in Spanish, I'm assuming?
In Spanish,
okay,
yeah.
Perfect. So I will see you there on stage this weekend. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Reset Rebel.
My
it was
pleasure.
Really nice to meet you properly, finally.
Yeah, thank you.
Reset Rebel. It's The Reset Rebel. Reset Rebel, it's the Reset Rebel, coming to you every day.